Welcome to Digging In with the Missouri Farm Bureau. Janet Adkisson here with you. We are joined by Missouri Farm Bureau President Garrett Hawkins. And we have just come off a busy couple of days. Those busy couple of days, what was it? It was legislative briefing. And what a whirlwind it was. President Hawkins, this was my first chance to take in the legislative briefing process. Not only was it exciting and busy, but it was also fascinating to watch the grassroots process in play.
Well, Janet, I think it's important to point out that you've almost completed a full 1 year with the Bureau now. And I was told many years ago that you've got to at least experience 1 year within Farm Bureau because we are so event driven. Legislative briefing being one of those flagship events that always happens during legislative session. But then you're starting into the election cycle and truly to get the full picture of Missouri Farm Bureau Federation, you have to do 2 years. That way you've tied in all the campaign season. Yeah. So you're working on it.
I had baby steps that first 11 months. So, well, let's jump into the legislative briefing process. And it certainly was exciting because we made some news headlines.
We did. So legislative briefing always includes the annual meeting of our Political Action Committee trustees. So those trustees, for those who aren't aware, you know, we are structured at the county level. So every county farm bureau has a board member that's designated as the trustee to represent their county's interests within our political action committee. So we had members from across the state that gathered to plan out the work of business for our political action committee for the year. And Janet, you're right. They made big news. They decided to endorse Mike Kehoe, our lieutenant governor, in his candidacy for governor to succeed Mike Parson. So that was big news coming out of the trustees meeting.
Absolutely. Now, there was also a couple other endorsements that came out of the meeting as well. One of those being Senator Hawley.
That's right. I mean, folks had the chance to truly reflect on Senator Hawley's record thus far during his first term in the U.S. Senate. And yes, they were very excited to give him another endorsement as he seeks a second term in Washington, D.C. They also, in a more regional fashion, have endorsed Jason Bean and his reelection bid for the state Senate. And I just say there are a number of other endorsements that are going to be forthcoming over the weeks ahead. I mean, that's one thing. Farm Bureau being a grassroots organization, we focus on policy development, policy implementation, but then political action. Because ultimately, we can develop the soundest, most common sense policies in the world. But if we don't send people to Jefferson City and Washington, D.C. that will help us get those done, then we have really missed the mark. So that's what this process is about, is trying to help elect those who are going to help us truly move the needle and make a difference in the state of Missouri and in agriculture across the country.
And while these were endorsements from the legislative briefing, there's going to be another opportunity for some of the hopeful folks who want to be to the elected office for our membership to hear from them down the road.
That's right. I mean, I think it's very clear there's still more work to be done as we think about this election cycle. We're hard at work in trying to map out some ideas that the trustees had shared that then the PAC board has asked us to look at. So there'll be more details forthcoming.
So let's also look ahead because we have another big event coming up next month, and that actually it's not that far away. It's only a couple of weeks, and that is taking members to Washington, D.C., where we actually get a little bit more interaction on the legislative side.
More interaction and no, I'm teasing. So actually next week I'll actually be in Washington, D.C. for the American Farm Bureau board meeting, and then I'll come home, check on things on the farm, and then head back to be a part of our grassroots fly-in. Janet, a fun fact, I organized, I believe, 15 of those back in the day. I'm getting to the point now that I say back in the day a lot, but this truly is such a wonderful experience where we have the chance to, again, see policy implementation in action in Washington, D.C., but it's also an educational component as we also do a little bit of study of American history and see some sites in Washington. So my two of my three children had the chance to go on the trip last year. Absolutely loved it. Other than having to wear a suit to the Capitol,
understandable.
they were okay with the meetings. They liked the USDA visit. My youngest loved the electric scooters. So he would love to do a birthday party in DC just for his friends to do scooters, but that is not in the budget. Oh, get me back on track, Janet.
I tell you what, that would be quite the experience, though. A bunch of teenagers in DC and on a birthday party. Yeah, and they can get away from me fast on scooters. So,
well, these are 9-year olds. So imagine
they still
that.
They definitely can get away fast. Well, Garrett, as we jump on through, we're getting ready to jump into the season of spring. And with spring, of course, comes whole new changes. We've got calves that are already hitting the ground in some areas. Folks are already talking about getting planters geared up and ready to go. It is that time of year. Any thoughts that you'd like to share with folks as they prepare?
Well, the unseasonably warm temperatures up until now, I have really got people itching. I'm amazed at just how many fertilizer carts I've seen rolling down the highway at home as people have been anxious to get fertilizer out on fields. So, you know, we just heard from essentially a climatologist or meteorologist as a part of legislative briefing. I don't want to use the D word, but we continue to look at the drought monitor. We know that we received some rainfall several weeks ago. Ponds look a little different, look a little bit better, but I think we all can agree we still need moisture. So I don't know. Now we're back to cold temperatures. It seems like it's typical Missouri where we see these erratic swings sometimes. But truly, as I think about spring, it's the renewed sense of optimism, right? And to be a farmer or a rancher, you have to have optimism in your blood. Yes, we can all get beat down from time to time. You think about, you know, a number of us experienced 2 years of drought now, right? We're all ready for brighter days ahead. And that's just, we have to go into spring with a sense of optimism that it's going to be better.
And one final thing, you mentioned the gentleman who spoke about the climate there at the legislative briefing, but we had another young lady who joined us, and she was from the Agricultural Law Center in Arkansas, and she had some insight talking about folks needing to register their LLC. Is that something that you had heard about prior to that speech?
This issue we just learned about in December, almost pretty much right around annual meeting or after. We have language or policy that was adopted at the AFBF annual meeting, get at what is known as the Corporate Transparency Act. I think folks need to know that this was yet another thing that was buried in one of those massive COVID packages. And so when you think about your business structure, we're going to be trying to get some information out as to, for lack of better words, some regulatory red tape that you may have to jump through in terms of disclosing financial information to the federal government. So it's not something we are thrilled about. Believe me, we are asking a lot of questions and trying to figure out how to be helpful and to limit the impact or burden. So we will be putting out information through our legislative newsletter. The National Ag Law Center has put out information, and I believe they have a webinar recorded. Mm-hmm. So I would encourage those who are listening to this podcast, if you're not a subscriber to our legislative newsletter, do that so that you can get access to these links that we're going to share. And if not, just go to the National Ag Law Center. That's something that truly is a crown jewel when you think about information for farmers and ag organizations. So much of the policy work from Washington, D.C., comes there for analysis. You also see attorneys on staff that are analyzing state laws and regulations. So we're going to make a concerted effort to start putting out more information about upcoming webinars that they are posting. Again, we're coming up in the busy season for agriculture. None of us have time to necessarily sit down and do a webinar during the day, but sometimes at night, there are some really key issues out there that people should be paying attention to. And this is one of them. So again, Corporate Transparency Act, it deals with financial disclosure for, you know, LLCs and others, depending on your business structure. So look for information from us and we'll keep you posted.
All right. Anything else you want to let folks know?
Well, I just say overall legislative briefing, I can't say enough how exciting, encouraging, humbling it is for me from this seat when I see our members in action, mm-hmm. when I see them in the Capitol talking about the issues that we face as farmers and the issues that our communities face as we think about just this symbiotic relationship between our farm and ranch families and the communities in which we live and work. Our number one priority, health plan legislation. Mm-hmm. We continue to beat that drum, Janet. And our members, again, went to the Capitol and told their stories about the opportunity that can come about once the legislature gives Farm Bureau the green light to be able to do this and to provide these types of products to Farm Bureau members. It's exciting. It's also frustrating that the process can work really slow. Mm-hmm. So I was just in the Capitol. I'm going to continue to be in the Capitol meeting with legislative leaders to talk about the importance of looking at agriculture from a holistic standpoint, that it's not just farm policy that moves the needle and will bring the kids home. We have to look at quality of life issues like access to risk protection in the form of affordable health coverage.
Mm-hmm. Well, that sounds good. And of course, you can stay with the Missouri Farm Bureau. We'll have insight on various things and activities, including the health plans, as those discussions continue. Available for you at MOFB.org and, of course, through the newsletter, as Garrett had mentioned. You're listening to Digging In with the Missouri Farm Bureau.